How you doing today? No, I was talking to those people at the warehouse. How you doing today? No, how are you doing today? Life Campus, how you guys doing today? You already answered me, didn't you? Okay, faked you out there. I think I faked myself out, to be honest with you. We're going to start off this series. The name of this series is Good God. And so I just want to say that together, just get you focused on the same place I am as I've been studying to see what in the world God is doing around this phenomenal globe that we are stuck to because of that wonderful thing called magnetism that keeps us here from flying out into space because we have a good God. Our spotlights just went out. They just went back on. That is great. Whoa, God that takes care of light. We appreciate a good God that takes care of light too. But I want to say good God together. Ready? One, two, three. Good God. My goodness, He is good. And we're going to look at some things right now. I got some great sources here. Because a lot of people are worried about that. And they're just not sure how good God is or what God is doing. And the truth is, God is doing phenomenal things right now. So I want to get right into that. So get your notes out. And the first thing I want to look at is stories of extraordinary growth around the world. Stories of extraordinary growth around the world. Because Jesus said to Peter, which was the first example of everyone, He says, Peter, through you and through anyone that expresses who I am and the great things that I can do, through you all, I'm going to build a church, and nothing can stop this. Well, that's been predicted for so many centuries that Christianity and the church was pretty well done in. Scholars have predicted this, I don't know how many times. I'll just give you one of the most recent ones. As late as the 1790s, they'd had this bloody thing called the French Revolution. They'd had all kinds of horrible things take place in the name of the church and all this. Well, it was pretty well concluded that by the time you reach the 19th century, by the modern year of 1800, that the church pretty well, at least in Europe, where the vast majority of the Christian church was at that time, was pretty well going to be demise. There was not going to be a church. And he had Voltaire, Rousseau, a whole bunch of brilliant men that had predicted all of this. In fact, if I don't know if you heard recently, they brought a prediction out that the 49ers are going to meet the Raiders in the Super Bowl this coming football season. We had one hand applaud to that. So how many of you believe that that's really going to happen? I mean, really, that is going to happen? It's not going to happen. Okay, all right. That was the mentality, that the church was not going to survive into the 1800s. But history has proven them so wrong. And what happened, inexplicably, again, there was an igniting of faith and of hope that took place. And in the late 1700s and into the early 1800s, a giant reawakening of the faith swept to where these churches that had been absolutely vacant became filled again. Then there's another prediction in the middle of the 1800s that, you know, the church was going to be shut down again. Didn't happen again. A great reawakening has happened again and again. Into the 20th century, I remember as a kid, my dad brought home a magazine. I still remember the cover. It was black with red letters on it. And the front of this Time magazine in the 60s said, God is dead. And I looked at that magazine. And I said, Dad, is that true? And he just kind of chuckled. He says, no, but the guys who wrote this will be pretty soon, you know. And he's right. He's right. You know, there were, you know, all these famous theologians, you know, the image of God, God is dead, you know. And, you know, we're on another kind of bump like that right now. It's amazing how the media and provocative kind of go together. And so it could be a bestseller, even though the scholarship behind it is shaky, but yet it's provocative. And we're kind of on a roll like that right now, a little bit. You have guys like, you know, Christopher Hitchin and Sam Harris, you know, whatever. You know, this type of stuff has been around for a long time, and they make their great predictions, And you know what? I'm going on record once again that the church is going to live after these wonderful men. I hope they have long, prosperous lives. But after these gentlemen pass on, the church is going to be alive and well. History has proven that. And I want to tell you that it's happening, and it has been happening right now. In the midst of some of these bestsellers about God is not great and whatever, I have to tell you just how pretentious these things sound in light of reality of what we have here. It'd be kind of like living in, and there's nothing wrong against this, living in Thailand. And in Thailand, did you know that they have they play polo? You know what polo is? You know, they have that big, long mallet, except they play it on elephants. They play soccer on elephants. It is like the national sport. And so if you live in Thailand, the whole world exists for elephant soccer, okay? Elephant soccer. And then they have these famous elephants, and they have playing cards with the different elephants with their trunk. You know, superstars, okay? And how ridiculous does that sound to us here? I mean, it's wonderful there, but as far as they're concerned, the rest of the world just doesn't exist. You know, what World Cup? but they have their thing. And so people, and some of these scholars live in such a narrow, tiny, little world. But within that tiny little world, boy, it is all figured out. But there is this gigantic world that God is active in, and some phenomenal things are going on. President Jefferson said that he pretty well predicted that biblical Christianity would be died out by the year 1800, and some kind of a universalist, all religions the same type thing would take place. Well, there's still kind of a universalist church, but it's only 0.2% of the population today. And biblical Christianity continues just to expand and to grow around the world. And so let's look at just something. Now look, this idea of the shrinking church makes sense if you live in Amsterdam or if you live in San Francisco. And we kind of live in a radius of the influence of San Francisco. And you will see that a bunch of tiny churches there, and you know, churches trying to make it, although there is one church of 6,000 in San Francisco, but not for the rest of the world. It just sounds really archaic to speak of the church starting to unwind. It is just not true. In fact, a scholar from Penn State University has written a book on this because it hasn't been covered very much. And what he did is he did a study of the 20th century, and he put together a hard statistical evidence and about what were the great social movements of the world. That was an open question. It was an open question. What are the great social movements of the world in the 20th century? And he put together really hard statistics on this. Now, Penn State University is no Christian university, and this book is called The New Christendom, and this book is printed by Oxford University because they recognize the caliber of work that this is. And Oxford University, believe me, are no major friend to Christianity, but yet they're the ones that printed this work. And so he identified the single most important movement of the 20th century, and it's not communism. Communism influenced one-third of the globe at one time. Did you know that? It wasn't communism. It wasn't feminism or environmentalism or any other kind of Western movement around the world. It wasn't Islam. The most and the greatest movement of the 20th century was the spread of evangelical Christianity since 1970. That was his conclusion. Isn't that a remarkable thing, you guys? I think that's a phenomenal thing that we can celebrate. It puzzles me that we don't celebrate enough here in New Life. I'm not criticizing you guys, but I think part of the culture of our Bay Area is kind of, okay, that's nice. Yeah, whatever. Just let me give you a measure here a little bit. I heard some of this. In fact, one of the guys that I really appreciate, depend on, J.P. Moreland, put together a report on this, what is happening in the kingdom of God. And he got his Ph.D. in philosophy at USC. and he's been a graduate worker. And he taught on this, on the same stats, and he brought up this thing here. So I'm just going to prompt you. Okay, I'm going to prompt you. The warehouse also, I'm going to prompt you. When he said, I quoted this from him right here, the single greatest movement in the 20th century is the spread of evangelical Christianity since 1970. Guess what his audience did? Wow! So I just want to prompt you, because I'm going to quote it again here, okay? I'm going to quote it again, okay, you guys? Because either we believe that Jesus is risen from the dead and we're happy when the things of God are going on, or this is just another show. This is the church show this morning, and you're going to go home and watch another show this afternoon. Either this is something that really pumps through our veins, or it's not. And I respect that, because we have many functional atheists at New Life. Did you know that? They kind of, wow, talk Jesus here. But as far as a practical life, you know, hey, you know. And so I get it, I understand. And so what I'm not doing is scolding right now. What I am talking to you about, though, is this is real. This is real. This is something that is absolutely remarkable. In fact, there's another book. Oxford University has gotten stepped up now, and they have just put out a brand new book also on the same thing, because they're saying, we don't know where all the scholars have been in the 20th century, but now that we're looking back on the 20th century, the greatest thing that ever happened in that century is the gigantic explosion of the evangelical church around the globe. What is going on here? No one covered this. Hasn't been in the news. You will not find this in the news anywhere. But if there were any other movement, I will guarantee you this would be in the news everywhere. And so this is what I'm going to say. The single greatest movement of the 20th century is the spread of evangelical Christianity since 1970. Oh, man, my microphone's on. You bet. It's good to see you. So Jenkins in his book actually said that if you trace the history of the church since its beginning, you will kind of see there's peaks and valleys, and it's kind of gone back and forth like this. But inexplicably, and I emphasize that again, inexplicably, because in the 1950s, all of the people that knew how things really were, all of the people that knew, who are the people that know how things really are? Well, the people in the universities. God bless them. I love academia. I mean, I love learning. I love graduate degrees. I will never denigrate the idea of continuing to pursue. I won't. But there is a pseudo-intellectualism going on right now. Where does it happen? Barnes & Noble, Starbucks, stuff like this, where people kind of talk smart, and they're verbal pugilists. And what they do is they just basically slam you down by shouting louder. And say, how can any reasonable person ever believe? And then they just go on and on and on. There's no substance, but it's loud. In fact, I had someone yell at me like that once, and I said, your decibels belie your confidence. Because it's true. But since 1970, all of a sudden, this type of thing shot up like this. I mean, the numerical growth, this has never happened in the 2000 history of the Christian church. And there's cold, hard data to back this up. And so I have a deep confidence in Dr. Moreland and in frankly, in Dr. Jenkins here. And Oxford University has come out with their own study, and they corroborate this evidence that this has really happened. I'll give you just some of this right here. Since 1970... Around 1970, there were 71 million Christians who were highly focused on doing missions. And by missions, I don't mean just changing people's culture. I mean truly within the respectful culture of what a person had, bringing the practicality and the relevance of Jesus Christ into their life, because there are universal needs people have. Real biblical missions, 71 million people. By the year 2000... that number had grown to 707 million people that are not only followers of Jesus, but they are true biblical Christians that have a deep concern for the poor, for the needy around the world, and also for the spiritual bankruptcy that many people had, and bringing the truth of Jesus Christ to them. In the year 2009, they've updated this. There are 750 million, or 725 million Christians in churches desiring to reach the rest of the world with the love of Jesus. So we have seen a gigantic explosion just in the last 30 years. That's almost, we're getting ready to push 1 billion people that are saying, I want to make sure that people understand, at least understand clearly who Jesus is, how much he loves them. He has a purpose for their life. There's more to this life. There's more than when you die. There's something after this. We know that there's no absolute proof of this. There's no absolute proof that our faith claims are not viable. We believe that this is real in our lives. It could be real for you too. There are people out there to do that. In fact, it's amazing to see what has happened around the world. Just let me tell you something else. In the underground church in China, they are sending out missionaries. The underground church is the not officially recognized illegal church of China. They're sending out missionaries around the world. Korea, which basically had next to no Christians up to the year 1900, 20th century, the church has exploded in Korea. It's one of the largest it is majority Christian now, and they send missionaries around the world. Latin America send them, are sending missionaries. See, it used to be kind of a North American venture. Let me just give you another perspective on this. In 1960, there were 2 Caucasian Christians for every non-Caucasian Christian in the world. And so this prompted scholars to call Christianity the religion of the affluent, the religion of the white, European, North American, privileged. And it was a religion that was segregated and discriminatory. Well, that was the beginning of the 20th century. By the year 2010, just around the corner, the ratio is already close to there. There is 1 Caucasian believer to every 7 non-Caucasian believers around the world. What a huge transformation has taken place within the church. That means 7 out of 8 practicing Christians are non-European, non-American, non-Caucasian. And so all of these things of the church that's discriminatory, that is such passé, archaic accusations that are going on out there. Now, sure, right now, for right now, momentarily, European Christianity is in decline. And Islam is taking over Europe, but it's doing this by immigration. In 20 years, some are predicting that Europe will be primarily Muslim, and that a lot of the empty cathedrals that they have there will be turned into mosques. American Christianity is thriving as far as it's very much holding its own right now. Around the world. But there's just amazing things that you do not hear. Amazing things that God is doing around the world that is very much aware within the leaders of the church, but we just don't hear this. In 1998, there was a church planting conference in Latin America where the Church of Latin America got together and they convened and they set a goal together across all evangelical denominations that they would have a 10-year span to start 500,000 new churches in Latin America. Now, these were not like, you know, churches like we have here. A lot of these are house churches. And so you have, you know, people from a little barrio, a little neighborhood getting together within a home. And they call that a church. You have 35, 40 people there. They all know each other. But wonderful, viable, healthy, vibrant churches where people are finding Jesus Christ through their life, they're being ministered to. Well, there was a problem with this because they reached their goal by 2005. 500,000 churches, so they had to up their goal. Have you ever heard of the Washington Times newspaper? Is that a Christian newspaper? Not at all. They did an article recently from the Washington Times. The church in China. They were amazed what was going on with this, and they said the largest movement in China, even larger than the Communist Party, is the underground church that is in China. Now, what is the underground church? The underground church is the Christians that are meeting in homes and not in official buildings recognized, designated by the government, where they can kind of keep an eye on them. But this is the church that is absolutely free to teach the Bible the way they want, pray the way they want, do what they want, in spite of what the government says they should be able to do or not do. And there are many, many stories of thousands of pastors just like me, doing what I'm doing, who have served years and years in prison, just the sentence that they were ministering illegally. But the problem is the prisons are turning Christian, and the officials don't know what to do. And so, you know, so the pastors are, okay, block C, you're a house church now, you know, and it's amazing what is going on, because why would people be as crazy to do that and leave their wives behind and their children to be raised by other Christians? Something had to have been happening here. This is not fanatical. This is something. These are not stupid people. These are people just like you and me in America. But they have felt and recognized something that changed them on the inside. In fact, in this same article, they said if the growth continues by the year 2020, half of China could be Christian. Half of China could be Christian. You do not hear this in the headlines. And frankly, the Chinese government does not want you to hear this. So, what are the implications of this? What are going on here with this huge movement? Well, it's going to take a huge amount of discipleship that needs to take place. Let me give you something else in South America. Have you ever heard of Mardi Gras? Well, we have it in New Orleans. But what happens in South America is way different, okay? Let me just put it this way. It's raunchy, okay? What happened? But it is. But it's huge, and tons of people come out. Well, young Christians, high school age Christians, and college age Christians were really concerned that this Mardi Gras type thing, which really is a celebration of the occult and just unlicensed sexuality, they were just concerned. That says, look, this is our country too, and we believe that there's a representation of people that are not. You know, that they're not just stuck in the mud, but they are sincere followers of Jesus. And so what they decided to do, why can't we have a rally for Jesus at the same time? And so they organized for different cities down around South America and, well, Brazil especially. Let me tell you, they have documented this now. The city government has documented this now. In one city alone, there was a march for Jesus with young people, 7.5 million young people showed up for this rally. Now, if I were at the other church hearing Moreland preach, right at that point, the people would have responded. Thank you. Thank you, Warehouse, also. Okay. God is really, really at work. Again, why is this happening? Why has this happened since 1970? As has happened before, when the prediction of the demise of the church would happen, there was, I believe, a sovereign move of God, something you cannot predict, something you cannot bring on your own, that has swept across. And throughout Christian history, there have been, Christianity was on its deathbed. And there have been those people really hoping that that was the case. And then what happens is it's this, huh, well, what do you know? Those crazy, stupid, shallow, naive people just need faith, I guess. And then they just kind of skulk away. And I'm here to tell you, these are not stupid people. These are not dumb people. And in my opinion, that's one of the most prejudicial, bigoted statements that anyone could ever say. If you believe in God, you're just an idiot, okay? All right? Same way, any Christian that has someone that's not a follower of Jesus and is really seeking, you should never denigrate them. Ever, ever, ever. Jesus never did. And you'd be out of pace with Jesus if you ever did something like that. Here's another thing, too, that I believe is going on, especially when the church has made investments to send us to Romania, places like this. I saw the aftermath of the huge oppression that has taken place there under Ceausescu and under communist philosophy. There's a huge impact of communism that took place. And this atheistic, almost Darwinistic, and I'm not getting, it's not a whole creation thing, I'm talking about social philosophy, which even Hitler talked about this, the idea of eugenics, and that there are people that are basically better than other people, and the oppression of classes and whatever, which took place there. But there was, frankly, a hopeless population, and I definitely saw this in Romania. People just kind of crushed down for generations on it and said, what's the point? There's no hope in any of this. And their souls were dry and parched, and you live and you die. And in fact, next week, we're going to have John and Vicki Moore are going to be here when we have our combined service, our baptism service right here. You do not want to miss this. I know it's a three-day weekend. You know what? Take off after. We're having one service. But be here. If you're being baptized, invite your friends and family. Even if they don't believe in God, you know what? They'll celebrate with you as a friend. Of course they will, that this is meaningful to you. But invite your friends and family. Be here. This is one of the most remarkable things to celebrate. And this type of stuff is taking place all around the world. But they are going to tell you stories of things that are happening actually in Europe right now. They're stationed in Poland about lives that are being changed by the grace of God. But anyway, there are people also looking for purpose. That's another one. But let's look at number two, miraculous stories occurring almost everywhere. And to continue this, you know, this idea of what is going on for this major growth, I think a major thing that's happened, and this is going to be a challenge for you to hang on to this, to see what God is doing, but there, the miraculous is breaking out around the world like it's never had since the beginning of biblical times. John 14:12 says, I guarantee this truth, those who believe in me will do the things I am doing. Jesus said this. I will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. What he said is the church as a whole, are going to do greater works and more works than Jesus said that I have done here on earth. As a whole, we're going to work through the church and these things are going. There is an outbreak of the supernatural and miracles going on around the world. Nothing like this has been reported since biblical times. This is happening right now. Now, again, I trust the reports of Dr. Moreland because I know that he's been trained to have a skeptical mind because, frankly, there's been a lot of stuff out there. You've heard it. I've heard it. There's a lot of, like, American ministries, and there's a lot of, like, very kind of questionable things that have happened here, and guys get on TV, and, you know, and you have, you know, and we hear about the people being planted in wheelchairs that are, you know, all of this weird stuff. Elmo Gantry, is that what the guy said? Elmo Gantry type stuff that they did a movie on years ago. We are all aware of that type of stuff that has been out there. We're not talking about this. We're talking about absolute confirmation built on absolute credible witnesses with people with a healthy skepticism, but not a dogmatic skepticism. So anyway, there are confirmed reports that people have eyewitnessed, people with high training, people, one example, I know this gentleman, PhD, historical theology from University of Chicago, and yet he's been out working in the mission field, and guys like this are reporting back absolute miracles that they personally have witnessed. The blind are seeing again. The crippled are walking again. I don't know why it's happening in places like that. We'll talk about this in a minute. Deaf that are hearing. And when there's been confrontations between out in rural areas between Islam and animism, that is God lives in trees and animals or whatever, time and time and time again, Christianity is winning these spiritual power struggles time and time and time again. So, why is the underground church growing in China? I want to get back to that. You know, it's We have all these wonderful things happening, and we're on the point, miraculous stories occurring almost everywhere. Why is the underground church growing in China? And the answer, again, according to the Washington Times article, they report from everything that they can read from these people they've interviewed, they report healings being done in the name of Jesus. Now, that's not some missionary coming back. That's the Washington Times recording this as they have interviewed and been over there and done this. Just let me give you one story here, because there's tons of stories on this. There's a Buddhist, young Buddhist woman that had a virus, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And as far as the hospital was concerned, she was terminal. She was dying, and she was on a ventilator. Her Buddhist family surrounded her. Well, a young Christian woman who was part of a house church that lived close to the hospital heard about this young lady. And so she asked the family if she could have permission to pray for this young Buddhist lady. And they graciously gave her permission. Now, this young lady who's a part of a house church went into this hospital. Do you understand what she just did? She just risked being arrested. If anyone knew she was part of a house church, she'd go to jail, 10 years. But she went in there and the documented story, she laid hands on this young lady and she prayed for her healing and spoke against that in her that was afflicting her and bothering her. And she was healed instantaneously. And this Buddhist family accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior right there in the hospital. This, according to the Washington Times article, they are reporting that new Christians in China are happening everywhere, and there is a miraculous base to that. I'm concerned that our faith has been so wounded here in America, and we are so non-committal, and we were so like this, that the Christian world's just leaving us behind. I believe Jesus is risen from the dead. We're going to talk about why it doesn't happen or seem to happen here in America the way it's happening there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Because what goes on is, well, what about me then? I understand that. Let me just tell you another story, though, because that is not what this message is about. This message is about what is going on around the world. What in the world is God doing right now? And I'm here to tell you these phenomenal things. Have you ever heard of Campus Crusade for Christ? They're a great organization. They came up with what was called the Jesus Film. And the Jesus Film is been translated. It's the story of Jesus from the book of Luke. And it has shown over 1 billion around the world already. It's been translated into hundreds of languages. And they could show it in any rural area if they have a screen and they take a generator with them. They take four-wheel drive and they go out to these areas. And in fact, the International Church of the Nazarene is contracted to go and help create disciples out of these people that have made professions of faith. Well, this is from their newsletter. Two very credible men, Paul Eshelman and Jim Green, have both been a part of this together about 50 years. Highly credible. They're in charge of this newsletter that comes out. And just let me tell you just a couple more of these stories. And one of them, a film crew, went out into a Muslim country, left unnamed for the safety of everyone, and they asked the local imam for permission to show the Jesus film in the village. And the imam says, "We've been Muslim for, you know, hundreds of years. We don't want anything like that here." And so this film crew said this. Now, how's this for courage? Said, "Sir, what about if you bring your sick and we pray for them and we see some of them healed? Can we show the film then?" And the imam said, "I'd like to see that." And so they showed the film in the soccer stadium, And in this rural area, 5,000 people show up. And they show the Jesus film. And at the end of the film, a number of people came forward for prayer. Very courageous thing to do in a Muslim village. And one of them was a father carrying his 10-year-old daughter who had been blind since birth. And this film crew laid hands on her, and she was healed instantly. And right at that point, hundreds of people came forward to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. This is just one story. This is not some big deal. This is just one story. Please understand. I understand the tension of, well, what about me? Right? I understand that tension. And you have to understand these are miracles. These are miracles that are done in order to advance the kingdom of God. Are you aware? Do you understand that? There's another story in the newsletter. I love this story about a Muslim imam. Do you know what an imam is? They have huge power in Muslim countries, huge influence. Well, in this country, no one would allow them to show the film. So talk about innovative. This Christian taxi driver with another dude were showing the Jesus film, the passengers, in a laptop in the back of a taxi. That's pretty creative, huh? Says, hey, have you ever seen this new movie? You know, and some of these people, you know, would continue, you know, to take a taxi drive to where they watch the whole film. They'd be accepting Christ in the back of a taxi. So that's what was going on. That's what they were doing. Well, what happened is one day, police motorcycle siren goes off, pulls the taxi over to the side of the road, and the policeman looks at the taxi driver and says, "This imam needs a ride, you will take him wherever he needs to go." And so both these guys are starting to look pretty nervous. Says, are they on to us? Because the guy had the laptop in the back, and they had some brochures about how to accept Jesus in the front seat on the floor. And so this imam gets into the front seat, and he's stepping all over these brochures. And they're wondering what is going to happen here. And the imam gets in, he looks at the taxi driver, and he says, are you telling people about God? Now, do you understand what will happen to him if he says yes, possibly? What do you think you would say? Maybe, maybe not. But this taxi driver said yes to this. He wasn't sure if it was going to be a trap or not, and he could go to prison. And the imam said this. And this is a very common thing that's happening in the Muslim world. There are actually thousands of stories like this coming out of the Muslim world behind the Muslim curtain right now. He said, last night I had a dream and Jesus spoke to me. And Jesus told me that I was to come to this place in the city at this corner and meet someone at this hour, and that they would tell me how I could become a follower of Esau's. Are you that people? And they showed him the Jesus film right there in the taxi, and this influential imam invited Jesus Christ into his life right there on the spot. You guys, there's phenomenal things going on around the world. Absolutely phenomenal. Ethiopia, there's other stories like this. Dr. Jerry Porter, who is one of our denominational leaders, talks about one of our great leaders, Zechariah, who's been in prison so many times, he's lost count, for the sake of preaching the gospel during a communist regime. He said, I have met Zechariah personally. I have hunted down eyewitnesses who did not know who I was, who absolutely say, yes, this happened. We are not crazy. I am college educated. This happened to Zechariah. And what happened was this. During the time when, during the rebel things going on, the communists, you know, I don't know the political part of it, but Zechariah was let out of prison. There was a colonel in the army, and as he was walking along, he had his Bible, and the colonel, they had a little fire there and a little barrel, and it says, throw your Bible inside of this barrel. It's kind of a side barrel with a swing door open. And he says, I cannot do that. He says, well, then put your arm in there at gunpoint. He put his arm in there for 30 seconds and brought it out untouched. untouched. He said, put it in there again. This is an atheist communist guy, and I'm sure he's just crapping bricks right now, okay? He put it in there again for a minute. Finally, a soldier says, pull his arm out. Pulled it out untouched. And he was so spooked, said, just get out of here. And he ordered one of his soldiers, as Zechariah's walking away, he ordered his soldiers to throw the Bible in there, says, we're not touching that thing. And tragically, sadly, the colonel was killed the very next day, probably by his own soldiers. But the word spread about the power. I don't know why in desperate times and desperate places God works in miraculous ways. The point is, in our secular country and in a secular areas like ours, we need to hear once again, God is real. Jesus is the Son of God. Christianity is the truth. And there are things that are happening around the world inexplicably. See, in the Western world, we ask the question, is this true? In the rest of the world, they don't ask that question. They see spiritual reality all the time. The only question they ask is this, is your God more powerful than our God? That is the only question they ask. There is huge evidence on this. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for that. Huge evidence on this. So, what can you do? Become a part of the party. Number three, become a part of the party. This is going to go really quickly. It's going to go really quickly here, okay? One is, empower your life through the Holy Spirit. See, there's more than just being saved, you guys. That's great to have your sins forgiven. But there's this whole thing of learning to grow spiritually. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is a classic teaching that our tradition has always taught. Yeah, it's great to be saved, but there's something more beyond that, and that is the absolute infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's way deeper, way more profound than some claim and teach that it's just something that happens with your mouth and saying things a certain way, but yet there's no lifestyle change at all. It is something much deeper, much more profound, an absolute infilling of the Holy Spirit within our lives, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And there's another one here, very practical. Embark on an overseas trip. Do this. Make sure you do this at least once in your life. Now, your first thing there is to serve others, no doubt. Little children, we must not express our love merely by words or manner of speech. We must love also in action and in truth. And we must serve. But when you're over in these other countries where God is doing marvelous things, this is the part that we miss out on. Pursue some of these people and ask them about the miracles that have been taking place. What's been going on in your village? What's been going on in your town? How's God been doing miraculous things? And I will guarantee you, they will have story after story of the things that God is doing. And the last one, encourage each other to be more supernatural. What I don't mean by that, no denomination in America has a corner on this, all right? This is such a biblical, big God thing, and you don't have to have a certain personality, you don't have to have certain style of worship and whatever to even believe this. But I think a lot of times things do happen here in America, and there are miracles and things that happen that we don't want to make a big show of it. Well, I don't want anyone to be looking at me. But we need to share answers to prayer with each other so we can build our faith. You know, I think in places where they don't have the medical resources, it is the only recourse that we see a lot more miracles taking place. They're miracles because not everyone is healed. Would you agree with that? That's true. But there's powerful things that are going on right now. Powerful things that are going on. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. God's at work. He's doing phenomenal things, you guys. We live in an area, respectfully, it's kind of the backwater of all this. The church has exploded in the south populations of the world. And we live in an area that you don't see a whole lot of this stuff going on. But all because we're kind of in a backwater area of where the Spirit's rocking things right now, doesn't mean that we're not a part of the winning team, and we can be a part of that. And maybe God has blessed us with affluence and cursed us with affluence in some ways, because it always it's easy for our love to wane and our faith to wane and to believe that we're in control. But with those resources, we can invest with what God is doing around the world. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. I just want to close with a word of prayer with you. Lord, thank you so much for our time here together. God, help us not to be conned by clever, comedic conversations. You know, Lord, the elite throughout history have been the ones chuckling at the church. And the elite wannabes say, well, I don't want to look stupid, so I'm going to dismiss all this. But Father, time and time again throughout history, your church has been revived and you have come back once again. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. In your name, Lord, amen. Amen.